Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 339 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian, the Sauce Sharp.
Hello!
And Matt Cassell.
It's like three Minka Fitzpatricks.
Absolutely. It is Thursday night.
I'm just saying, 39 is a very uncommon number for all sports. Who else is 39?
Dominic Hasek.
Darren Perry
is probably the most famous hockey 39.
Who's the most famous basketball 39?
I can't think. That's a very strange number. So, no, how about
39 is a weird number.
Any baseball players 39?
You can be any 39? Fucking number you want in baseball. It drives me crazy.
But nobody's 39.
Mm-hmm. I like how
they're like, "Ooh, I'm going to avoid that number."
I like how football
I like 39.
Makes you wear certain numbers at certain positions, but I like how hockey
you love totalitarianism.
Right, I do, but I love how hockey does something similar, but it's a little more loose. It's not as rigid.
They don't do anything similar. It's just like an unwritten fucking tradition. Like,
but
you can't use these double numbers unless you're really, really good.
No, but
like,
there are still rules. They're not NHL mandated rules, but there are still rules as to like what positions wear what numbers. Unlike baseball and basketball, which are just, you know, the fucking Wild West for numbers. Speaking of numbers, it is September 17th, and tonight we're going to talk, surprisingly, not sports numbers, though, oh my God, I could do 2 hours on sports numbers alone. But we're not here for sports numbers tonight. We're here for
a different number, PS5.
PS5 and Mandalorian
season two.
Number two, okay.
So tonight,
numbers.
Tonight's episode is all about numbers.
Hey, you mathematicians out there, this one's for you. You're going to hear some guys that cannot count talk about numbers.
So Ian, why don't we start the episode with housekeeping?
Sure thing. You guys go to McSauce.com. You'll find a website there just full of Paul, Matt, and Ian goodness. You can go to all of our social medias. You can check out our podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, everywhere that you can find it. And we also have a new additional podcast, another way that you can listen to more McSauce. If you go to patreon.com and you search McSauce, you can lay down $5 of your hard-earned dollars a month. And we will give you, in return, at least 2 special episodes. We do some different things there. We mostly talk.
Ian?
How many episodes?
How many numbers?
$5. Five. And then 2 at least episodes. This is going to be terrible. 2 special episodes on the old Patreon feed. So check us out there. And for all of our current subscribers on Patreon, and everybody listening, but especially the current subscribers, because, you know, they're giving us that money. How do we measure currency in numbers? I forget how many Patreons we have right now off the top of my head, but
it's a number.
It is a number. It's related to this show. So thank you, all of the many, many Patreon subscribers. I hope that we're giving you guys everything that you paid for with your $1, $2, $3, $4, $5 a month.
So why don't we dive into PlayStation talk tonight? The PlayStation 5 announced their price point.
Sony
more numbers, right?
Sony announced the price point of PlayStation.
Right,
5.
Placed it like the plastic console didn't waddle out onto the stage and say,
"Hi there." I mean, is that how he talks? I feel like that's how I make everybody talk.
Have, like, I thought he was going to sound like the PlayStation.
I'm not actually. I'm not doing what the first accent would have meant to jump to my head. So yes, he sounds like Mickey Mouse.
Matt, how much is the PlayStation 5 going to run your average consumer?
Paul, that depends on which version of the system your average consumer is going to purchase, because there's two different PlayStations that are available. One of them comes...
What?
One of them comes with a disk drive, and the other one does not.
Zero.
A total of zero disk drives.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry, everybody at home.
Please don't turn us off. This is gonna get better.
Somebody out there loves this bit.
I hope so.
I mean, I know three people. You know what?
We love this bit. We love this bit, and we're here for it. So if you don't like numbers, turn it the fuck off right now. Turn it off in 3, 2, 1.
So they announced both price points for both systems, one with a optical disk drive, and the other one, it's a purely digital machine, meaning you're going to have to download all the games to the hard drive inside.
I'm kind of surprised that they're even offering a disk drive version.
Here's the reason why, is because it's also a Blu-ray player. So that if you currently, so someone like me, I likely will get the Blu-ray. I will pay an extra $100 to get the Blu-ray player, because that's how I have used. I don't have a traditional DVD player or Blu-ray player anymore. I just use my PlayStation. So I kind of, I did it to myself, but I need to get the disc version.
Is the disc version more money?
Yeah, it's $100 more. It's $499, whereas the digital version is $399. Now,
that doesn't sound too bad.
No, it really doesn't. 7 years ago, when the PlayStation 4 came out in November of 2013, there was one version of it, and it was $399. They undercut the competition, the Xbox One, by $100. But the reason why the Xbox One was $100 more was because they stupidly included, remember the Kinect? Remember that thing?
Well, they were trying to... Paul had it.
Certainly.
No, do you remember? You don't remember the Kinect? It was a camera that you would put like on top of your TV, and it would like capture your body movements.
It was Microsoft's sort of Wii.
It was their reaction to the Wii.
PlayStation's version was the sticks with the balls.
Yeah, yes. I forget. I don't even remember what that was called.
PlayStation Move.
Both of those things seem to fail.
Well, they did. However, the Move was retrofitted into the PlayStation VR that has proven to be moderately successful and, in my opinion, majorly fun.
I can't even think about PlayStation VR without a chill running up my spine. PlayStation VR is just scary to me. That's forever. It will just be frightening.
Well, it's based on our playing experiences, because PlayStation VR to me is boring. Because I got to be Batman and I'm not a detective, so I wound up just standing around a lot.
We were like, put the thing in your belt.
That's right, I remember.
Yeah, I got to reach for things.
You didn't play
and
read
things and walk around the Batcave a little bit.
So I got
I got
a double dip of horror that evening. I got to play the haunted thrill ride game where
that
you
one's
have like
called,
a gun.
Until Dawn Blood Rush.
My blood rushed, and
to your penis.
And then just like right on the floor. Whenever I played the kitchen
when
game,
you're scared, you cum blood.
Yes, that is. That's a telltale sign. Blood cum. So yeah, PlayStation VR seems frightening, but at least they retrofitted that technology, which I'm sure took a lot of money and time and research and development to create that stuff.
And I still give Sony a lot of credit for even coming out with a VR, because I don't think that it's like a huge money maker for them. As far as I'm concerned, it's a major point of difference between PlayStation and Xbox, but I think for your average consumer, it kind of doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so they announced not only the price of these machines, and the reason why we're talking about it, I should point out, this is going to be the hot ticket item this holiday in the entertainment world. There's no new movies. There's, you know, like, there might be some TV shows coming out that we're excited about, but there's no movies to go see, so what's going to get your entertainment dollars? Video games. And Sony's only come out with four of these things in the last 25 years up to this point, so it's significant. And when is it coming, Paul? Do you know?
October 30th.
No. Close. It's coming on November 12th.
Hmm.
It's a Thursday.
Point, kind of
good number for a forward.
Kind of piggybacking on what you're saying about how popular this is going to be, Matt. I happened to go to Best Buy today, and right outside, right out front,
everyone was dressed as PlayStations.
announcing
they're really ramping it up early.
There was a sign that said PlayStation 5 pre-sale sold out. So,
oh
yeah. So here's the part where Sony really screwed up. So yesterday on September 16th, they finally had this video event thing. It was about an hour long, and they showed some gameplay for some of the games and stuff that are coming out on the PlayStation 5, including the Miles Morales Spider-Man game, which looked good. It looked like the other Spider-Man game. So at the end, they revealed the price and the release date, which everybody, that's all people really cared about at this point. Like, when is it coming and how much is it going to be? And then they said right after that, pre-orders are going to start tomorrow. That's not a ton of time to kind of get ready, make sure your finances are in order, all that, because Sony had promised about a month ago, maybe even more than that, they had said, we're not going to spring a pre-order on you. You're going to have plenty of time to get ready for it.
What, 24 hours isn't plenty of time?
24 hours. Now, here's the real problem. Retailers started taking pre-orders within 2 hours after the video, and it wasn't announced, so nobody was ready for it.
Retailers weren't ready for it.
No, consumers weren't ready because they thought pre-orders were going to start tomorrow, not in 2 hours.
Yeah.
So here's the real problem. Many retailers weren't putting limits on the amount of PlayStations that you could reserve. So scalpers were basically going in and buying up all the PlayStations. That's why if you go on eBay, you see $1,000 PlayStation 5 pre-orders that you can buy.
So right after the announcement, dudes were calling and they'd be like, I'll take five. Put me down for five.
Or 50.
Or be like, it's my name's ridiculous. Matt Cassell, and then call the, back, like, my name's Kat Massell.
People were doing it online. I feel like the old-fashioned way of walking into a GameStop and putting $50 down isn't the way it's done now. Now yeah. You just go on Amazon,
this
Best Buy, GameStop. This is not the way.
That's for later.
Right. So PlayStation broke the internet last night. It broke the internet. I tried to pre-order one for myself. I went to Walmart, Target, GameStop, Best Buy, Amazon, and this morning, Sam's Club. And I was like fairly on top of it. I'm like maybe 10 minutes behind. And I even had it in my cart at both GameStop and Best Buy. But because of the heavy traffic, by the time I could get through, like at one point, GameStop's website even said, your IP address has been deemed fraudulent or something, and it wouldn't even let you on. Apparently that was like their website's way of saying, we can't handle the traffic.
Yeah.
So other people had that issue, and then later it came back on. But by the time I went to try to check out, the machine was no longer in my cart. Basically the same thing happened with Best Buy's website, but clearly retailers and Sony were not prepared to roll out this pre-order. It was absolutely, in my opinion, unacceptable for something that everybody knows is going to be one of the hottest ticket items to not give people a fair chance to try to get one and allow it to be snatched up by scalpers, that people, resellers that are just trying to, because it's gonna, here's the problem. I've seen this for two other generations now where people do this. They did it on the PS4 generation, and they did it for the PS3 generation. I did it for the PS3 generation. And even then, you really don't end up making a lot of money unless you are Johnny on the spot, first one to put your, because for the PS3 generation, you had to have your shit on eBay first thing in the morning, offer overnight shipping for free, and then you could make a couple $100.
Yeah.
With the PS4, everybody was on to it. So what they did was people started putting receipts to prove that they bought it. Mm-hmm. And they said, I'm going to, as soon as I get it, I'll ship it to you. And then eBay cracked down on that. And they're like, no, no, no. You got to have the machine and you have to have a picture of it. You can't put the receipt up. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. So that was like killing people's ability to like put their stuff on eBay ahead of everybody else, and therefore getting like the best, you know, the highest bidder.
Yeah.
This time around, I feel like because it was so easy for resellers to do it, it's going to be so flooded. These resellers, after they pay for like free shipping on this crap, what are they going to make? Fucking $50?
Yeah.
$100?
Yeah, it doesn't, if that, sound like a sound business plan.
It seems like way too much hassle for what it's worth. So, but I think Sony majorly screwed up. I'm disappointed that they essentially lied to the consumers that we're not going to spring it on you. Well, you did exactly that, idiots. Mm-hmm. And, worse yet, they were like touting, because they have a very different strategy than Xbox going into this generation. They would say, we believe in generations. Therefore, you're not going to be able to play PlayStation 5 games on your PlayStation 4 because the hardware demands it, or the games demand the hardware, which is the traditional approach. In the past, you were never able to like get a, you know, I couldn't buy a Sega Genesis game and play it on my Master System. I had to buy a Sega Genesis. But like the point of diminishing returns is upon us, and the difference between the quality in games is on a much more technical level. Like back then it was a totally different game, but now it's just a higher frame rate or higher resolution textures. Like, it's the same game, though.
And the main thing is that back in those old generations, maybe it was a different delivery mechanism. Maybe it was you go from Sega Genesis to Sega CD. That's different. Sega CD to Dreamcast.
Well,
those are different ways that you're containing packaging and delivering that game.
And as a result, the games were completely different. Like, some games all of a sudden had CD-level audio, full motion video. Like, that was just, that didn't exist on the previous generation of systems. Mm-hmm. Now it's all the same crap. It's just a prettier version of it, and much less so, like, in terms of like the leap. Mm-hmm. It's just a much more incremental difference.
I think that they now have to do a lot of the differences have to be explained to you. You have to have a little bit more of a technical acumen to understand, oh, this is why this is different, or this is why this game is superior or a little bit better. But to the naked eye, you really can't tell the difference anymore.
Right. Well, so to my point, conversely, Xbox had said, hey, look, we're going to have a new Xbox this year, but if you don't want to buy it, you don't have to, because guess what? all the games that we're showing you, you can play it out on the old Xbox. It's just going to look and play better on the new one. But if you're not ready for that, that's cool. We just want you to be a part of the Xbox community. And that's like a way more consumer-friendly approach. But I was like, well, it makes it feel like it's not very important to upgrade to the new system. And being somebody that has always bought the new system when it comes out, that kind of makes it a little bit less exciting, if you ask me. It makes sense, and I kind of agree with it, but like my instincts tell me that, or not even instincts, but like my conditioned brain is telling me that's not the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday it was revealed Sony walked back on their policy. Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Demon's Souls, all their games going to be on PS4 as well.
And you can purchase some of these games. You can purchase a version where you can upgrade, essentially. The version will be playable for a little bit more money. I bought Madden. I'm not looking to get into PlayStation 5 right away, but I still bought the game with a couple, put a couple more dollars down so that I would have the version that could be downloaded on a PlayStation 5.
I think there's a caveat with that game in particular, though. I think it's a limited amount of time you have to do the upgrade. I don't know if that's the case with other games. I know, Paul, if you buy Miles Morales on PS4, you will get it on PS5 for free when you get a PS5, which you can't do right now because everybody bought up all the pre-orders.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of pieces of shit out there.
There are a lot of pieces of shit, but Sony really fucked over their consumers, in my opinion. This isn't as bad as the debacle that Microsoft went through at the beginning of the current generation, but this is enough to lose fans. Seriously.
I can hear forgive it in your me. Voice that you're almost gone.
Forgive me if you covered this while I was
napping.
Draining the lizard. But
working on your abacus.
Yes. Brushing up on my numbers game. Why, if like, why would PlayStation be like, you're gonna have time? It's like, no time, it's out right now. Like, that doesn't seem like a strong business plan.
I think it's just a breakdown in communication and strategy. Well, that's what it sounds like to me.
It's mostly on the retailers, but at the same time, I feel like Sony didn't allow retailers to appropriately prepare for this, mostly because they were trying to wait the whole thing out and they didn't want to reveal their price or their release date because it was all contingent on when their competition was going to do it, Microsoft. So Microsoft last week announces their machine's coming out at $499 and it's going to be out on November 10th and pre-orders come out September 22nd. So that's like in less than a week. But Sony knew that they can't let those pre-orders happen without getting their information out there because people that like are kind of on the fence, if they don't know, they're just going to be like, fuck it, I'm going to pre-order the Xbox because I don't have a clue what Sony's doing with PlayStation. So they had to get it out before then. So they kind of rushed their message out. And they wanted to beat Xbox with pre-orders, but as a result, it didn't give retailers enough time. And stupid Walmart was the first to start offering pre-orders early. And once they did, all the other retailers followed suit because nobody's going to get left behind, which doesn't make sense because I don't care what retailer you were. Your PlayStation 5 pre-orders are going to sell no problem, whether you do it a minute after Walmart or the next day when you're supposed to.
Yeah, I would think that you would find, maybe you would find, I mean, you're going to sell it regardless, but you would honor the letter of what was said if you held on to it and you gave people that weren't prepared a little bit of a chance to buy it.
Literally nobody did pre-orders when they were supposed to, except for Sam's Club. They had pre-orders this morning.
Maybe there's
the smile on your face makes me feel like you secured a poppy.
I didn't. I almost did. However, they were only offering the disk drive version. I'm not interested in that. No. I'm not paying an extra $100.
Do you have a...
I don't consume any physical media anymore.
No Redbox for you? Just all...
Nope. Hmm. Nope. 100% digital. The only thing... I've recently bought on Kickstarter a couple like vinyl records to have a physical copy of something and to support bands.
The spoken word album.
Well, it's actually a book, but it's going to have those audioscapes. It's the John Schaefer, the Iced Earth guy. He has a book coming out in October. I supported that, and he also has another like Christmas album where he's re-teaming with the former lead singer of Iced Earth, Matt Barlow. They're gonna do like a Christmas album.
I don't know.
Or in
I don't like
Deck the Halls.
I don't like the words Christmas album. I don't like Christmas by itself.
Do you like the words Christmas album?
You hate Christmas music.
Metal band?
I in my head I'm thinking what that could possibly be. Now I'm intrigued. Now I have to buy it.
There's after the show, there's a sample. They've already released it. I'll play it for you. Are they doing
Christmas classics?
Are they doing
some of the standards, but
highly unlikely.
They're doing Silent Night, We Three Kings, I don't know, like a few other ones.
Maybe just if the fans are lucky, we'll ride out.
It's just an LP.
Some of those.
Is it going to be like a...
And then they're kind of reimagining a couple
like
Iced Earth classic songs.
Like a Trans-Siberian Orchestra type thing?
No, I think it's going to be like not as like upbeat as that. I think it's going to be a little like spookier sounding.
Yeah, like Trans-Siberian Orchestra, but with their aesthetic.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. But they're not doing Deck the Halls. They're not doing... Frosty the Snowman. Like, I think these are more like kind of the
songs that that more easily fall
translate
into
metal. Yeah. I mean, the perfect song. The moon is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight, and that's enough, right? I mean, that sounds dreadful, but Christmassy.
Until you get to the chorus.
I'm not going to say it because
part of that song too. Because
I'll make everybody's ears. Yeah,
we don't.
I don't want to. Yeah, I do not speak
you don't
its name.
Put that into the universe.
Yeah, I abhor that song.
I do too, but I'd love to hear the metal version. So,
Ian, I did not secure one. Yeah. I've checked my phone more than a few times today, Paul, to see if maybe additional pre-orders have rolled out.
Yeah.
Because they have. Some of the retailers, like I would read online, that they're up for like 5 minutes, boom, all claimed. All
right, so Matt, you're obsessed with getting this.
A little bit. It's fair.
So is there a fear that you're not going to get one by Christmas?
No,
How long do you think you're going to have to wait to get this? And is that a real problem? Like, why?
No,
this isn't like waiting for a live sports score where it's going to be spoiled and like, come on.
It's just one of those things. It's how I'm wired. It's an early adopter thing. I am an early adopter. You are not. I've bought every PlayStation the day it's come out since the original. It's kind of looking like that's not going to happen here. It looks like Xbox is going to get my dollars this year.
When you have a peculiarity to your character, it's considered charming. But when I hate the Golden Knights for no reason whatsoever, I'm a psychopath.
That's pre-show. We're going to have to start recording the pre-show because the people would love it. We came in firing hot with Number Talk because we had all this pre-show good vibes and...
Listen, I don't...
Total insanity.
We still have good vibes.
I've never...
I don't know why we backed off Number Talk.
Because it was too much. Maybe we can get back into it with The Mandalorian.
Get back what? Get back?
In to one, it? Two. Because it's so fucking stupid. Because we're so stupid. That's why we backed off.
I don't think an early adopter has ever been accused of being like, how did you word it? Peculiar, like, but charming.
Peculiar quirks.
It's an annoying and irrational like obsession on my part and people like me that need this. Honestly, I have no real fucking reason other than, well, I buy every other one when it comes out, and I like to buy the new one when it comes out.
Matt, I've known you for a very long time, and this has never changed. You've always been Johnny on the spot with new fun tech.
Yeah, it's sometimes it makes sense because sometimes you're getting tech that is like revolutionarily cool. In this case, I feel like the video game systems this year are not exactly what I would call revolutionary.
And I think, you know, when I think about the stuff you normally like jump right on sales day for, it's been a lot of Apple products, you know, laptops, phones, and it is revolutionary tech products. But with this PS5, it sounds like same old system, some different attributes, some different games. Like, it sounds like if you wait until late December, dare I say, early January, like nothing's, you're not going to miss anything.
You're right. Yes, I would agree with that. But I'm not waiting. I'm going to get
that.
I'm getting a video game system on either November 10th, that's when Xbox comes out, or November 12th when PlayStation 5 comes out. I'm going to figure out a way.
You're a PlayStation guy.
Well, I've had both.
I would not say that he's a PlayStation guy.
I don't really have loyalty to the big two companies. I had loyalty.
If there was a third obscure ass video game company,
course.
Holy shit. Well,
isn't it Nintendo?
No. What am I loyal to?
No, I feel like
Apple.
What is it loyal to?
Video game system.
The Dreamcast.
Who's that?
Sega. Yeah. I should have said Sega.
If Sega announced, like, you know, tonight that they're going to come out with a new system this November, I'd be like, PlayStation what?
So
Xbox 2?
He would have a Dreamcast tattoo on his chest.
I should get that right around my belly button.
or on his stamp tramp of right a Dreamcast around, stamp tramp.
Or right around your asshole. And I don't want to get
into
this
one.
Too deep.
Why not?
But, so, you bought, like, the last couple PlayStations.
Yeah.
So, but, like, would you just go to Xbox because it's available first?
Partially,
and
yes.
I know I'm setting myself up for, like, a double long episode by letting you answer such a wide open question.
Partially, yes. Look, whenever this generation started, I was an Xbox guy. Like, I had switched over to Xbox when the original Xbox came out. I went with that over the PlayStation 2. And then I got the 360 when that came out. And then leading into this current generation, Microsoft had a ton of goodwill and momentum, and they squandered it completely by coming out with these ridiculous policies like machine always has to be connected to the internet.
Wait, what?
Yeah, dude.
This sounds like the totalitarian shit that Paul could really get
You can't listen when they, but here's the thing. They walked back on all these goofy policies about a week after they announced them because PlayStation was like, none of that's going to happen on our machine. And the really crazy one was, oh, you want to play like a used game on your system? Well, you're going to have to buy a code for it. It'll probably be about $10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's like you can't they were like, you can't borrow your friend's game.
What?
And then the very next day, PlayStation comes out and they're like, here's how you share games with friends on PlayStation. And they had a guy holding a PlayStation game and he gave it to his friend to his right. And it was like a total.
What a troll.
It was such a troll
Bravo,
move. You should watch their press conference because they just like beat the shit out of Xbox in it. And when Xbox was like doing all this dumb shit, I was like, I'm going to PlayStation. And now it's not quite as bad, but I'm starting to be like, maybe I'll go back.
That sounds like seriously dumb shit. This sounds like they were just waiting for Xbox to release their pricing information, and then they rushed theirs out. But the actual system, like, they're both going to play the same. They're both going to have great graphics. They're both going to stream from the cloud.
Yep.
Like, the only difference
they're
is...
they're both going to stream from
right,
the cloud.
Whatever.
Grandpa.
Whatever video games do. But, like, the big draw for each what? One is going to be what games are exclusive
right.
to each other.
Right.
So...
they both have, like, really good exclusives, like... They just do. Right now, it looks like PlayStation has more, but...
So at this point, since PlayStation rushed their announcement and everything's on back order, now you're like, fuck that PlayStation exclusive that I wanted. I'm just going to play this Xbox thing that I'm like, I guess since it's available, I'll play it.
No, Matt's a big Halo guy. It's one of his favorite
games of all time. Yeah, I like Halo.
So it's not a surprise.
I like Gears of War. I think Xbox actually has more diversity amongst their exclusive games. They just don't have as many. Like, they've got racing games and shooters and role-playing games. Whereas I think PlayStation has kind of a lot of samey games. Like, they've got that third-person action with light RPG elements. They're all very similar in terms of the way they play. So, I don't know, man. Like, it's quite likely before the generation's over, I'll own both machines.
I think no doubt you will. It's just in which order you're going to buy them.
Right. But if it turns out, I'm looking at my phone, if it turns out there's a pre-order for PlayStation that
we
goes up.
We might get to hear it in real time, folks.
Because there's a Twitter feed, IGN Deals, where they're like, updating it with links to this, who has the pre-order.
Yeah.
God, this sounds so exhausting.
Two hours ago, it looked like Target had them back in stock.
Yeah.
And an hour and 55 minutes ago, sold out.
I am too old for this. And it makes me think of, you know, our buddy Brian. He's been getting all the Masters of the Universe Origins figures. And they look fucking great. Like, they look awesome. And he's like, buddy, you ought to pick up some of these. And I'm like, no, I've watched you run around a handful of different Walmarts around the city, you know, trying to find these things, checking on your phone to see when. Oh, the
that was
you know,
part of
the Westmoreland Walmart
man.
Has
back
has
in the day
Manny faces available.
Hunt. You didn't you used
yeah,
to enjoy the
I mean.
Hunt?
No, I never enjoyed the hunt. I did it because I was obsessive compulsive, and I
you
couldn't
were
help it, but
obsessive
I didn't
compulsive?
I didn't enjoy it. I've backed off a little bit, especially on the, in the collecting game. But yeah, just like the constantly having to, you know, check websites, and I mean, I'm sure it's a little bit easier now because, you know, back during the old Power of the Force days, you know, you always had to run out somewhere and physically be somewhere, but still, just the anxiety of, oh, am I gonna get this? Like, I've never even bid on eBay auctions.
Never?
No. Fuck it. If you don't have a buy it now option, I don't want it. I will pay extra to eliminate the stress of like having to wait for like the counter clock to tick down. And then in the last 10 seconds, me and fucking Joe Bob from Alabama are trying to get a fucking wheel jack.
Is it the guy that hosts The Last Drive-In?
Joe Bob Briggs?
Yeah.
I think he's in California. I think this is a different Joe Bob.
I think he's in Texas. He is not in California.
Joe Bob.
He is not a California guy.
New York guy?
He's Texas.
Texas guy.
Yeah, Paul, I used to enjoy the hunt to a degree. Like, there was something, like, when you found the shit that you were looking for and you hit the jackpot, holy shit, I found Jawas on an orange card. Fuck. Go crazy. Buy one of those up.
I still remember clear as day, and I must have been 4 or 5 years old, my mom and myself finding Greedo at, there was some kind of toy store or some kind of shop that's in the Penn Hill shopping mall where Giant Eagle is. Whatever was there before it was a Giant Eagle was some kind of, it was like a Hills or something. It wasn't exactly a Hills, but it was something like that.
Like a service merchandise.
Something like that. And I remember going in there, and we had been looking for Greedo for at, you know, half of my life at that point, right? And I remember being in the aisle and finding Greedo, and my mom, bless her heart, was more excited to find Greedo because I was probably nagging the living shit out of her. So she was, she had looked, and she was going, she was digging behind the pegs, and it was a Greedo that was hidden behind a bunch of pegs and a bunch of Chewbaccas or whatever, whatever figure was packed really heavy, maybe Grand Moff Tarkin, whoever it was that wasn't getting purchased. And she found the Greedo, and she was so excited. She's hugging me, and I was excited too, but she was really,
and then,
really.
And then you
fired
went right
up
to UPMC because she made you eat it.
And I
had to cut it out of your stomach.
And then, even though it was 1984, I went on eBay and I put it up and I scalped the shit out of it and I made $500. That's $500.
I still routinely have dreams about looking for toys, about being in a toy store, looking at shelves. Two nights ago, I had a dream about looking at like a full Transformers rack. Any Ames or Hills or, you know, Toys R Us, Children's
Palace. R.I.P. all of them.
I dream about toys all the fucking time. What a, like, I mean.
I'm trying to find the joke.
What's wrong with
but
our generation?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? We are kind of all stuck back in childhood a little bit. And I don't know if it's because, I like to think that it's because the toys that were designed in the late 70s and throughout the 80s were some of the most creative, dynamic toys that ever existed. When you look at what came before it, Big Jim and the Bionic Man and all that stuff,
everything was real stiff.
Nowhere near the, and maybe it's also because the marketing of the 80s, where not only are we going to sell you a toy, but we're going to create this really grand mythology. And we're going to give you
a Big Jim cartoon.
Or a movie, or a comic book even.
Or fucking anything, but that stiff-ass, straight-up boy Barbie.
But for most of the things that we got mini comics and cartoons and comic books and theme songs and toys and play sets. And I don't know, it just seems like that's the most rich fantasy world and toys that ever existed and probably ever will exist, because right now we're not making any of that stuff, and the Zoomers or whoever's coming up next, that generation, they're definitely not going to be able to think. So
like, I this may be a talk for a different time, but I wonder when, so we look back, you know, we're kids, you know, we played with toys. So if we look at kids that were, you know, between 6 and 10 when PlayStation 1 came out, and like their lives are primarily taken up by video games. So,
I mean,
do they
can
have nostalgia for those games? Like, do they want to go back and look at that, those beat ass graphics, and play like the original Mortal Kombat? Is that like their version of buying Masters Classics or Masters Origins figures?
I don't know. I just found out that one of our listeners and Patreon subscribers, Aiden Mick, is in that range. He's that young. So, hey, specifically to you,
Aiden,
you're the person we're talking about. Do you have the same kind of nostalgia for PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 2? Yeah.
To have nostalgia yet.
Yeah. All right, Mixos Nation, send us on all the socials. What was the first video game system that you were into, and do you still have nostalgia for that? Or send that along. Hit us up. You know where to find us.
Speaking of nostalgia, we're going to talk about a little trailer tonight that spawned from something we were nostalgic about. We were, until it was crammed down our throat every second of every day for the last 5 years.
And Spawn is like addition. Like, it becomes another. One becomes two. Is that correct?
And then two becomes three.
Yes.
We're talking about the Mandalorian season
two
trailer. We watched it. I watched it a couple days ago. We watched it again tonight. Who's excited?
I like
for
that he throws it. I watched it a couple of days ago. I don't know when you pieces of garbage watched it, but I watched it a couple of days ago. Early adopter.
Ian, when did you watch the Mandalorian trailer?
An hour before I came here.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean, I normally just watch it right before we turn the mics
well,
on.
Well, that way it's fresh. That way it's fresh. Matt?
I saw it when it came out.
I did too. So we all saw it twice. Hmm. How many times?
One.
Two.
I watched it three.
Oh, one, two, three.
Hey, also give us feedback. Was this bit really old by the time we got to this point in the podcast?
I mean, it is for me.
Oh, Matt.
I'm it sorry. Is.
See, I got a second
for
win.
For me?
I got a second win.
I'm going to stab you to death.
So I forget what our polynomics were for season one of The Mandalorian. But I think I think Ian and I were in favor. I think Matt had some. Matt, you're generally a little more critical about Star Wars.
Well, I was excited for it. I remember that because I remember, like, I was like, I'm going to check at midnight for the, because it coincided with the very launch of Disney Plus.
Can't be left behind. Need everything.
Right. Early adopter with Disney Plus. So, and I remember it actually was available not at midnight, and then people were like, what the fuck, when's it coming? And then I remember Disney
like
was
six
like
in
six in the morning,
like,
and then
Matt just red-eyed refresh.
I set an alarm every 15
you're
minutes
a psycho
to wake up. No, but I remember right before I fell asleep, somebody posted like on Reddit or something, like, if you download the app, it's there. You can get it now. It was like 2 a.m. I was like, should I watch it or should I like go to sleep? Because I do have work the next day. And I was like, fuck it.
Work, schmirk.
I'm watching it. And I laid in my bed and I watched it on my iPad. And it was quite good. I liked that first episode. I thought that the first episode was a really good first episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pilot was good. I think as it went along, maybe you soured a little bit on the episodic nature of the delivery of the, or?
No, not really. I just think they had some filler episodes in there that were clearly a step below some of the like early and later episodes. I think the middle of that season was just a little dull, especially the Bryce Dallas Howard episode, the one with the AT-ST.
I think that one was shot
in somebody's backyard with a bunch of cosplayers, that one.
I think it was a nice change of pace, and you get to see what I'm always talking about is Star Wars is a great big universe, and we talk about it all the time, but we don't get to see it. And sometimes you go to a dull place in the universe, or a place that might not be for you.
Or you go to a place that somehow Star Wars finds itself in the middle of Mordor, and there's fucking orcs all over the place. Like, what the hell is this? I was like, what am I watching? I'm in Lord of the Rings all of a sudden. This is supposed to be Star Wars.
So I didn't mind that episode as much as you did. I really like The Mandalorian. It was one of my favorite Star Wars items that I've seen in quite a long time.
Did you like it better than The Last Jedi? I'm just
no
kidding.
Comment.
That's a joke.
No comment. So I'm pretty excited about seeing season two. I was wary about if they were actually going to hit their deadline of October of this year. I thought that it was going to get pushed back.
It felt
like
they were doing
forward.
A Sony, like, all along. Hey, we're going to come out this holiday with PlayStation 5. Not a word until, you know, yesterday. Same thing with Mandalorian. Yeah. It'll be out in October. Well, where's the trailer? Like, when? October what? Mm-hmm. And then they started rolling out some of the information, obviously, the trailer.
And when's it going to come out, Matt?
October 30th.
Our new Halloween favorite.
That's right. What happened last year on October 30th?
There was a very special number that we hit. We did our live show.
Oh, yeah.
And it was our 300th episode. And RIP to live events, because we'll never see people in public again. So that was the last and only time that you'll get to see us in public, everybody.
Ever again.
So I hope that you liked it, that all of you that came out.
So, yeah, it comes out October 30th. First episode, Disney Plus rolls out their episodes in a weekly cadence as opposed to like Netflix that gives you the season dump.
I didn't realize Amazon Prime did that until this season when I was watching The Boys, because I started watching season one a couple weeks ago and I've just been rolling through them. And then I'm like, hey, wait a second, because now I'm into season two and now I'm on their schedule.
They do something where it's, they release, I think they release two episodes at once, and then they do a weekly schedule, which I kind of like that better than just one week at a time. I do prefer, my preferred viewing method is weekly, but
big water cooler talk guy over there.
Love a water cooler. Love talking around it. Love talking about last night's show. Did you see the show last night? Did you see the show last night? I did. Let's talk about it.
Who didn't see the show last night? Go fuck yourself.
The way that I see it, it's like TV shows, actually, let's just call them shows because they're not really TV shows anymore. They aren't beholden to a regular broadcast schedule. Now they can be strictly beholden to the story that they want to tell. And if that means one episode is going to be 40 minutes and another one's going to be 30 minutes, if it makes sense within the context of the story for them to be different lengths, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be. It shouldn't be 30 minutes because it has to fill a 30-minute broadcast time slot, number one. Number two, I think that when you're telling a complete story, yeah, there's certain kind of starting and stopping points that you can have with an episodic story, but it's all one story. That's why I feel like the season dump, I mean, I understand the strategy for not doing it. I think it's a monetarily driven strategy for weekly cadence, but it's way more consumer friendly if you just give people the season dump. Because I know when I'm into something, I want to keep going. I don't want to wait.
Yeah, my personal argument against it is that I don't have time to sit down and watch, you know, 10 to 13 hours of something in a row, not necessarily in one sitting, but even over the course of, you know, 3 to 4 days. Like, there's a lot going on, and there's so many people, and I'm active online, active on social media, and there's so much risk with a full season dump of, oh, this just got spoiled immediately. So, and like, I sort of had something from The Boys spoiled for me last week. And of course, whoever posted it was like, well, it's not a spoiler, it was in the trailer. I'm like, yeah, but like the context wasn't in the trailer. And like, we were watching the Mandalorian trailer tonight, and at the very end, he kind of looks toward the camera and you hear him say, this is the way. But like, I don't think he says, drink Pepsi. This is the way. Like, I think it's overdubbed. I don't think he says it at that moment.
Oh.
So, and we've all been around doctor trailers, and some stuff is in a trailer. We see it in the movie, some stuff we don't. So like, I feel like the season dump is like too wrought with something's going to get spoiled. For me, I think I'd rather week to week. It's an easier schedule for me to keep up on, to not get anything spoiled.
I feel like I've said the word spoiled a
billion times in the last 10 seconds.
I feel like shows have a longer life, more sustainability, and stick in people's mind in the cultural zeitgeist longer if it's a weekly churn through. If we're talking about a new aspect of a season in real time, I can remember the shows that I remember most vividly are the shows that I watch in a fashion which are weekly, episodic. I watch it, I absorb it for a week, I show up on Sunday night or whatever, and I watch it again. True Detective Season 3 was a show that I watched in that manner, where I absorbed it, and I thought about it, and I thought about what this could mean and that could mean. Watchmen, another show. I did it in every week. I waited for it. I thought about it. Westworld was another show. And I remember those shows very vividly. The opposite of that is something like Cobra Kai Season 1, where I watched it all the way through in one sitting, in one day. And I loved it in the moment, but whenever we started watching Season 2, I was glad for the recap. I couldn't remember what happened.
I was surprised about stuff. I'll never skip a recap.
But I feel like you need a recap whenever you have these series that just where they anticipate that you watched it maybe in one or two sittings, and then once you're done with it, then you're done with it, and maybe you talk about it, maybe you don't.
Yeah. So as I was, you know, working through the argument in my head, like I was, you know, pro your case was like, oh, you know, Game of Thrones, it's weekly and has this long shelf life because everyone's talking about Game of Thrones week to week, and it did run a bunch of seasons, and I was thinking, oh well, The Witcher was here and gone. And like for that month or so, it was everything Witcher, all things Witcher, and then it just kind of disappears. But I feel like something like Mindhunter, which is more along the lines of more of the shows that you mentioned, does still have a lot of cachet, and people still talk about Mindhunter, even though now maybe it's because it's not coming back.
It's not coming back?
No, Mindhunter got canceled.
Shut the fuck up.
This is not a bit. Mindhunter is not coming back.
You literally just ruined my night. Why?
Well, maybe PlayStation will bring it back up for you.
I thought it was very popular.
It was fucking huge and it was incredibly good. I didn't look into it. I don't know why it's not coming back, but
because Netflix only wants to have two or three seasons of shows. That's what they do. That's what Netflix has always done, is
they're clearly building to something with it. It's like there was somebody's going to pick
Netflix
it up.
Doesn't
Someone,
give
it,
a shit.
It's so fucking good. Like Amazon Hulu. Like I would absolutely.
But here's the thing: they won't pick it up because Netflix owns it. That's
it.
Why. Like you can do that with NBC shows, but Netflix designs these shows, builds these shows so that they can stay on their ecosystem forever, and they can control how many.
Why would they allow them to create an ongoing story that they were going to cancel them?
Why would they,
if they
not
own it?
Want? Mm-hmm. As many successful shows as possible.
This doesn't make any sense.
Because they are building short libraries, I believe, and when you start getting into more and more seasons, either on the contract, because you have to contract these people out every time. Like, you can't just say, all right, you're on the contract for like 8 years total.
Fincher to wrap it up in season three.
Right.
Well, it's everybody. So as the seasons go on, you have to pay more for your cast. That's how every show works.
Right.
And once you get to a certain point...
So if the show is good and successful, canceled! It's like the opposite of the way things have always been done before. If you suck and you get crappy ratings...
But they're not beholden to any of the old-ass way that things have always been done before.
Yeah,
I realize that,
but if you start axing your popular shit... Guess what? People are going to go somewhere else and watch something else.
But they've been doing it for 5 years now, 6 years.
What
now.
Have they canceled as popular as Mindhunter?
They've ended tons of shows. They ended that what's the one with Drew Barrymore, the
Santa Clarita
Diet, which was extremely popular.
That was good.
One Day at a Time that they brought back, which was It was pop. It, you might not have liked it. I don't think it was for you.
I didn't watch it. But I don't.
Well,
think
then
it
what
had
the fuck
the
is
same.
What's Stranger Things doing
right.
with the
it's
fourth
going,
season?
That's
going
to be canceled after the next season that they roll out for a myriad of reasons. But like that will not continue.
But I think. But
it doesn't have anything to do with Netflix popularity or quality.
I don't think Netflix is canceling Stranger Things. I think the Duffers are like, this is our plan. We're out after this season.
Wait.
And I don't think, like, I don't think One Day at a Time is not like Mindhunter, Stranger Things level of, you know, like water cooler talk good. Like, I can't think of what they've canceled. What else they've canceled after like two seasons that was so fucking red hot like Mindhunter.
Sabrina's been canceled.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Sabrina was pretty big.
The OA, which is weird, but...
The OA was so fucking...
You said it has nothing to do with popularity. What... Why? I don't think I follow the logic.
I don't get the logic they're cutting things.
How about this? This is definitely a show that is more popular than any show that we've mentioned. Ozark is canceled after four seasons. They get one more. Just like Stranger Things is likely to get one.
But
more.
It's goofy to me that the Mindhunter and Sabrina, like OA was really weird. So maybe we don't talk about the OA. But Mindhunter and Sabrina don't even get the option for, hey, let's wrap it up, let's put
so
a cap
weird.
On it, let's bring it back for one more season and close it up. They're just like, done. Like
Atypical, canceled after four seasons. I'm telling
that's
you.
That's a bummer.
Well, that this is
there's a big difference between four and two.
So what was the show that we said that was two?
The OA.
Mindhunter.
I thought Mindhunter got three seasons.
No, Mindhunter only had
two
seasons.
Unless there's still a third coming out.
I thought there was a third.
I don't care how many seasons. What's bonkers to me is that they're not letting their properties finish.
They were building toward BTK in all those episodes. Like, I was so looking
forward. Yeah, Sabrina too. Like, Sabrina had a very forward arc in this last season. And, like, now it's just done. And it's weird that they're not even saying... And I guess maybe it's a money issue. Sabrina has more of a... ensemble to pay for than Mindhunter does. Mindhunter is essentially three people, but yeah, it's weird to me that Netflix isn't letting these properties, letting these creators finish their story, even if it's like you have to finish this in one season. Go, like it especially with Mindhunter and Sabrina.
Right, it feels like
they're such popular properties.
Yeah, it seems like most of these properties get about three or four. Two is a little bit shocking. Dear White People is getting canceled after four seasons. I really like that show. Dark.
Is that Kamal Bell?
What's that?
Is that Kamal Bell?
No. Dark, three seasons and done, right?
Well, who knows? That's not Netflix. That's whatever Germany wants to do.
No. Netflix, like, I think that they worked with Germany to create that show. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Super fucking popular, canceled after four seasons.
But did it
I'm not defending their strategy, but I am
Dark
telling you guys
full,
that it is a strategy.
Dark had a full arc, you know, beginning and end. I never watched Kimmy Schmidt. But like it's so weird that stuff like Sabrina and Mindhunter that are hugely popular and left on cliffhangers don't get to wrap it up.
Yeah.
But Ozark will get to wrap it up.
But also, who knows if they actually are popular, because in our circles or our circle of influence, we talk about these shows, but Netflix is the only one that has the numbers.
Yeah,
maybe they spend X amount of dollars and many people...
The numbers are out there. I mean, I'm sure
No,
we can...
they're not, though. Netflix doesn't share their numbers.
But you hear...
That's not
you
true.
Hear hype.
That's not true. Netflix absolutely shares their numbers.
Whenever it's stuff that's good.
Well,
but...
yeah, true, but, I mean... I believe the numbers for, we'll look it up. But
they don't share their numbers.
Netflix,
because I remember when The Mandalorian came out, they were comparing Netflix numbers to the way The Mandalorian performed against shit that was on Netflix.
But with
their most popular shows, but you don't see what flops or what has a bad season.
But
we don't know.
With or without numbers, we are all.
That's funny how we got back to number talk. Inadvertently.
With or without numbers, we are all keyed into the zeitgeist and what is popular and what's being talked about. So, you know, we know without looking at Netflix's bottom line, like Mindhunter is a good show. Like Mindhunter is a show a lot of people are talking about. Same with Sabrina. Same with Ozark. Like, and and Ian, you may say, but those are all shows you watch. That stuff that, you know, your needle is gauged for. But, like, I know...
That is what I would say. I'd say it that gruff, too.
I've been working with you for years. I know how to fortify myself. But, like, I never watched Halt and Catch Fire, but I know Halt and Catch Fire was really good.
But so, it wasn't very
I'm sorry, guys.
But that's a different... Listen. See, that's a different conversation, because that's an AMC show. And it was a totally different... That show was not popular, and we have the numbers to support that it wasn't popular, but AMC pushed it through anyway because they're going for, we make prestige TV no matter what.
Right, but yes. But I think in the case of Mindhunter and Sabrina, which were, like, big, popular, successful shows, to have them just be have their legs cut out is really fucking goofy. Like, because I don't have the numbers from Netflix, but there's no way those shows were doing so poorly. They were like, we can't possibly do this again.
Yeah, the whole thing feels weird, but let's get back on track. We didn't really talk about the Mandalorian trailer. Paul, what'd you think about it?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was cool. I like the intro where you're like, oh, planets, and here comes Razor Crest, and you're, oh, it's the husk of Razor Crest floating through space, and its engine's fucked up. Something happened to Mando.
Needs an oil change on that, on the Razor Crest.
Looks like maybe a full stop at Firestone, not just an oil change. He's going to be there for a couple hours.
Spending some time on planet Firestone.
Yeah, like it looked
cool planet.
It looked cool. My
really
is,
fucking dull waiting room with a really antiquated TV and strangers that you don't want to be sitting next to.
A tube television. Everything crappy smells like oil.
Yeah, crappy magazines.
See, I was thinking of the literal stones and fire and okay, you know. But, I mean, whatever floats your boat.
I hear stones and fire canceled after two seasons.
It was so popular. We'll never know, though. I love Stones and Fire. That second arc.
When it was great. It was building to water Stones Fire.
That's what in the trailer, it was the water and it bubbled up. And I was like, oh, no.
We'll never
happen
to
see it. It'll be like pebbles and like smoke.
So do you feel that this trailer looks like this is going to be a worthy send-off for The Mandalorian?
Well, I don't know if Disney Plus is going to have the same business and practices as Netflix does, where your head is on the chopping block from the start. The second watching of the trailer, what I pulled from it again is the weird timeline that Star Wars likes to have, where they pretend that no one remembers what happened 10 years ago. Because, like, the Mandalorian's like some weird wizards that we used to fight against. And I'm like, that was 15 years ago.
There was one weird wizard, though. Like there was one guy.
But an intergalactic war. Like, the World War II for us is further away than, you know, Endor was for, or than the Clone Wars was.
True,
I mean,
but
Mandalorian.
World War II took place right down the street compared to a galaxy away.
On planet Firestone.
And that's when I was running this through my head, I was like, well,
you definitely can't tell the particular what wizards we fought and defeated in World War II,
It's a big galaxy.
You don't know.
It's a big galaxy. Maybe it happened on the other side and, you know, Outer Rim, they don't really know.
It's legitimate history. Think about how you put yourself in Mando's shoes. Think about how you treat legitimate history. And if somebody came to you and were like, hey, man, you got to do this thing. And who are those people? The Whatsies? I don't know. Sounds weird.
Yeah, but the Clone Wars happened. The Clone Wars happened long enough, like in a short enough time in the past that what the fuck is his name? Din Djarin? Like, he knows about Jedi, like, he knows they exist, and it's just a weird thing in the Star Wars universe where they're always like, oh, 10 years, that was 10 years ago. Who could ever know what happened 20 years ago?
Well, there were only, 200 Jedi? Like, think about how rare it had to be for
them. But they were at the center of government.
Yeah, but the Mandalorians weren't.
Big space, Outer Rim. It just always seems real weird to me that, like, it's such a mystery.
So do you know where... Okay, let's back up. Do you know where the term stormtrooper comes from?
Yes.
You do. What is it?
The World War II, the Nazis.
Wrong. World War I was where the stormtroopers, they were... And then they eventually turned into the Nazis. But even... So, right there. Maybe the Mandalorian is misremembering his history.
But I know of them. And I know what happened in World War II and World War I.
And again, it's on this planet.
Again, we are all on one planet. Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't... Who knows what's happening?
Your interplanet bias is showing.
And, you know, maybe I just need to focus on, you know... Well, they're in the Outer Rim, and who the fuck knows those fucking hillbillies out in the Outer Rim? Who knows? But I don't know. It's always real weird that, like, everyone's just like, this is crazy wizards. Like, no, this is like a huge, like, come on, read some fucking books, listen to a podcast,
listen to you tell them to know more about your history.
I don't need to know about history. I'm one schlub on one planet, but, like, the Mandalorian is a well-traveled person. Like, he's out and about. He's not just on wherever he finds Baby Yoda. He is all around the galaxy doing jobs. Like, he's part of the Mandalorian culture.
Has no time to read books,
but he hears
or listen
stuff.
To podcasts.
And you mean to tell me, like, in all of his travels, like, he's not smart enough to... be a well-versed traveler and pick up on all the information?
Think about...
To be as good as he is the Mandalorian?
Think about how dumb some people are in the Star Wars universe. Ben Kenobi... Obi-Wan, could that possibly be the same guy?
Everyone
wearing the same clothes?
Kenobi is like Smith on Tatooine. There's a Jerry Kenobi right around the corner. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a Kenobi on Tatooine. That's why Obi-Wan picked it.
No, I think that everybody's... There's some problem in the galaxy where people have very short memories. Can't remember anything.
Yeah, like the trailer looks cool, but weird timelines and what we remember and what we don't always stand out to me in Star Wars. And I assume... when he sees the girl with the orange face and the hood at the docks, that's Ahsoka Tano, and that's where she shows up because he needs to take the child back to the Jedi, and she's at the same time she's trying to find the child.
I didn't
see any face markings, but she
I just
was,
thought it was
I
some
know.
Girl.
Well, I'm not saying that is Ahsoka, but, like, I think, like, that's where they're going to cross, is that, like, she's still out there doing Jedi things, and he needs to return this baby to the Jedi. Like, that's how they introduce her to the show.
I want to know where this baby is during the events of the sequel trilogy.
Not born yet, he's 50 years old, right?
No, the new one.
Yeah, well, he's dead.
Died of old age.
Dead baby.
Well, Matt, the galaxy's so big. Who could ever know what's happening on the other side of the galaxy?
True. That's a very astute
so
point by you. So for me, one of the coolest parts actually was the biker scout on the speeder bike, the way he took that turn, his one foot's kind of skimming across the ground. And it's
like when they jump off the cliff.
Yeah, every time you can make stormtroopers seem kind of more badass, like, I like it, because I feel like as the original trilogy went along, stormtroopers became more and more of a punchline to a joke, so it's kind of cool to see them actually doing stuff that's kind of cool looking.
I like them being formidable.
I don't think this trailer told us a lot. Everything it told us, they told us at the end of the first season. As a matter of fact, I think all the voiceover was from the first season. And I guess that's okay. I know a lot of the rumors, Ahsoka Tano is going to be in it, maybe Boba Fett, maybe Rex. But we didn't really see any of those characters in the trailer. And I guess that's fine. I kind of don't, like, I don't want to see any more, to be honest. Of course, if they drop another trailer, yes, I'll watch it. But
at
I hope they don't.
I hope they don't. Refresh, refresh.
Speaking of refreshes, can I go back to PlayStation Talk for a second?
Ooh, update.
According
on the wire.
According to
fresh news.
Sorry for those of you listening, because this will have long since happened.
Old news.
Old news. But for me, it's breaking news. At 9 o'clock. Walmart is going to go live with pre-orders again with a limited amount.
So that's in about 30 minutes from
It's about 30 minutes, so it's going to be a very interesting 30 minutes. So, Paul, I'm not going home until 9 o'clock. I could just see me in the car. It's 9 o'clock, and I get home, and pre-orders are gone.
Well, we have some behind-the-scenes Mixos episode talk to get into anyway. Yeah, Matt, I'm fine not seeing any more from this season. Like, you know, let's just roll out those that Halloween first episode. Someone better be wearing a pumpkin on their head. It's cool. Like, I kind of want a more unified season. As much as I like last season, it did feel very like Adventure of the Week with some very
a little
thin
bit
through lines. But
yeah.
I want more of a cohesive story from.
It's the middle that kind of broke everything up because your first, well, there's only 8 episodes, I believe.
The 1 to 8, whatever.
I think it was like your first 3 and your last 2 or 3 were pretty cohesive. It was the middle ones that I think you had, yeah, there were 3 in the middle that were just kind of eh. One was the Bryce Dallas Howard episode. One was the Return to Tatooine, which was just tons of fan service. And then the other one was the prison break one on the prison ship or whatever. And I mean, like, that was kind of cool. Maybe there's going to be some kind of carryover from that.
I thought the prison break episode was cool. It felt like, you know, like a Tales of Star Wars comic.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of did. It was sort of neat to see, like, the New Republic sort of operating, yeah. Like, is sort of like a police force of the galaxy.
Yeah, if we didn't know. It looked like the Empire, which is the point.
And I liked in this trailer seeing some X-Wings. In season 1, we got, oh, what are the Empire up to?
Yeah.
Right now, what are the remnants of the Empire? And this seems maybe this is the early. Now we're gonna get to see the other side.
Are those X-Wings flying with the Razor Crest, or are they chasing it?
I thought they were pulling him over.
Yeah.
I thought they were flying with him.
No.
Okay.
No, I think they were pulling him over. Can't tell what race he is under that mask. It's a better safe
than
sorry.
I mean, you could make assumptions.
Yeah. I'm curious. So,
no nice clean farm boy would fly a Razor Crest.
We saw some cool Imperial stuff last season. Like this season, up until a couple minutes ago when I was thinking about it, like I didn't realize. I'm kind of excited for what's the rebellion up to? Like, how's the rebellion pulling themselves together, and what exactly are those Jedi doing? Like, are the Jedi doing? What are those X-Wing doing? Is one of them, you know, Wedge Antilles? Is are they on the orders of Luke Skywalker to say, hey, there's a baby out there, go get him? Does it tie into?
Luke's
our
too busy threatening
still,
other babies.
Who are
in
very
bed.
Much alive in the Mandalorian timeline. So I'm sure it won't tie into any of that, and I'll be pretty disappointed. It'll probably be Alan Pally and Jason Sudeikis stealing a couple X-Wings and going after the Mando.
Watch the shit out of that show. That would be great.
Does anyone else have any numbers you want to add before we sign off tonight?
0.
Ian, you want to give us a quick polynomics on season 2?
I'm excited. I really like The Mandalorian. It's one of my favorite Star Wars things that has come out in the past 5 years, I guess we'll say. I will give... I'm excited... an 8. I think I'm pretty excited for it. And I think that it will meet my excitement level at 8. So
you're an 8 and an 8.
So 8, yeah, an 8 and so an 8.
You would be a wide receiver. Is that Isaac Bruce?
It is.
It is, but then he changed his number to 81. That's Andre Hastings.
And he is not a 1 on expectations, let me tell you.
So, are there any famous 88s? Wasn't one of the Chicago Blackhawks?
Lynn Swann's pretty famous.
Lynn Swann?
Eric Lindros is probably the most famous hockey
player. Yeah, Lynn Swann is the most famous 88, I believe, in the NFL. He's probably. There are a lot of 88s because of the wide receiver number, but Lynn Swann is the most famous one.
My excitement is a. My excitement's a 7. And I think they're going to course correct a little bit. And my expectation is an. Or wait, my excitement. Yeah, excitement's 7. Expectation is an 8.
I'm kind of aligned almost with you, Paul. Excitement's about a 7. I think I'll get more excited as we get a little closer to it. But my expectation's actually a 9. I think that you're right. They're going to somewhat course correct, focus a little bit more. And I think that I know... Jon Favreau is directing at least one of the episodes, so I mean, hopefully that'll be really good. Actually, Carl Weathers is directing one of the episodes, so that hopefully will be good.
Griff Karga himself.
Yep. Is that his name? Griff Karga.
Mm-hmm.
It shows how out of touch with Star Wars I am. I don't know the names of anybody. Like you said, the Mandalorian's name. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever.
That's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you for tuning into this very special numbers episode. My name is Paul, number 1 McGinty.
Number 2 Ian Sharpley.
No.
Gotcha, bitch.
Number 3 Matt Cassell.
We'll see you next time.